We are listening to Amud V'Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg, Masech HaShabbos, Daf Kuf Chaf Beis Amud Beis. We are starting a new parak, okay, 17th parak. So that's far in. Kol HaKelim, the simon for Kuf Chaf Beis is corn on the cob. It's like a kukab, corn on the cob. So it's going to be a yid eating corn on the cob. The first point is from the first Amud. Which is a guy doing malacha, the discussion about a guy doing malacha on behalf of himself and on behalf of a Jew. We know that, right? If he's doing it on behalf of the Jew, then the Jew cannot benefit from it. If he is doing it on behalf of himself, then that's the whole discussion. You know, was he, I guess you could say, marbish shiurim? Did he do more in order to help out the Jew? What about if he turns on the lights? So is he doing it for a bunch of other people? Is he doing it for himself? Ner le'echa, ner le'meya, that whole discussion. So that's the first zichru point on this amud, on this daf, on Kuf Chaf Beis. So we're going to have a Jew eating corn on the cob in the dark, and a guy's going to turn on the light for himself, and it's going to benefit the Jew as well. So that's where we start off. So Jew eating corn on the cob, imagine very sad in the dark. It's hard enough to eat corn on the cob without getting the stuff in your teeth. You can't see anything. Also, he's sitting in the dark, and the guy turns on the light, and he's going to be very happy that the light's turned on, because he's going to, the next two zichru points on today's Amud, we'll take a look at how he's able to benefit from it. So Kol HaKelim, this parak is going to be returning to the discussion about Muktzah, because we love to learn all the different halachos of Muktzah. It's so interesting how it's scattered all over the Masechta. In particular, new topics in Muktzah that we've, you know, just briefly mentioned here and there, but a discussion about the concept of Kli Shel Machtel Iser, which is where you have a kli that's primary purpose is for asr malacha. Well, malacha is asr, right? For malacha, and then if it has a secondary purpose, is there a heter for that? Different heterim in general with muktzah that might apply to some categories and not others. For example, tzarech gufo, which is that you want to use the item itself. There's also tzarech mkomo, where you need the space that the muktzah thing is in. So could I move something directly, hands on? We're not talking about, like, you know, moving it indirectly kila achar yad or anything like that, or tiltul min atzad. We're talking about where handle something directly and moving it out of the way, because you need the space that's there. There's also something called mechama letzel, if you want to move something to, right? So the you know, paradigmatic case is where something's in the sun, you want to move into the shade, but anything to protect an object. So we're going to be discussing that. So let's see. Kol ha-kelim nitolim b'Shabbos v'dalso seyen imahen. All kelim can be taken on Shabbos, meaning kelim with the mutter purposes are not considered muktzah, right? As opposed to certain things which don't have an intrinsic use and designated use, right? Kelim, by definition, are something that somebody made for a particular use. So we're talking about the kelim that can be used on Shabbos. They can all be taken on Shabbos, as opposed to, I don't know, a rock, a twig, something else that's you know, it itself is also doesn't have a particular purpose. And not only can they be taken, but even their doors, right? If they have, like, doors that could be taken off of them, like we'll see, like something like a cabinet, a trunk or a little wagon or something like that. Rashi says, actually Rashi gives us these examples, right? Kol kelim sheyesh lahem delasos kigon sheda, like a carriage or a teva or a box or a migdal or a closet, nitalin. B'Shabbos, but also sheyesh lahem betzidon imahen, nitalin imahen. You can take them along. Afal pi shenisparku, even though they're detached, even if they're not currently attached to the item, we're not going to read the parentheses. Most Rishonim do not, and definitely Rashi doesn't have the girsa, and we'll see. The Gemara will elaborate on that point exactly. Why are you able to do this? She'ino domin l'dalso sabayis. Because they're not l'fi she'ino min amuchan. Right, that they're not. It's not similar to the door of a house, which is not min hamuchan, that it's considered prepared and ready and not muktzah, right? So, right, of a house, the detached door of a house, that would be a problem. That would be muktzah. But But one of these like smaller things that carry and you move around, those doors are considered min ha-muchan, they're prepared, and you can not mukhza. No tail, so changing the discussion a little bit, no tail adam kornos, lefatzeh bo'asa agozim. A person can take a hammer and break open nuts with the hammer. Kardom lachtoch ba'asa devela. And someone can also take a spade and use it to cut a devela, which is a cake of figs. Rashi says, "Me'achashasa igol avahi ma'od." It's very thick. V'kasha kegvina. It's kordos lechoscha. Kordos lechoscha. It's like thick, like cheese. That when they take these figs, these dried figs, and press them together very, very tightly. We've learned about them before. So much of the Gemara speaks about like throwing them against the walls, and they stick to the wall. And what is that? Is that an extension of the wall? And what resources is it in? So these are things that are very thick, and to use a spade is a reasonable thing to get these things open. And magrefa ligrofba as grogros as all right, and you can also use a shovel to shovel up these dried figs. Es ha rachas ves ha malges l'seisalav l'katan, and you can also use a rachas is a different type of shovel for winnowing, right? When they would winnow, it was like the malach of Zorah, they would scoop it up, throw it into the air, and then the chaff would fly away and the kernels would come down. So that type of shovel, or a malges, which over here, the Masoros HaShas changes it to mazleg, right? Rearranges it to mazleg. We've had it earlier in the Masechta as well. Mazleg is modern Hebrew for a fork. If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi says, "Mazleg kimin asar shakorin forka," right? It's a forka. Mamma mia, it's a forka. Shel barzel, velo gimel shinayim, it has three teeth. Umahapchen bo kash begorim, you do straw, so a pitchfork. Right, but this malgez could perhaps be the modern Hebrew word mazleg. Could be the word mazleg is an inversion of the I don't know the earliest source of the word mazleg in modern Hebrew. It could be that malgez came first, but this is the Masoros HaShas changes it too, and we have it earlier in the Masechta as well. So to use one of these this arachas or a malgez to put food for a katan on it. You'd serve a katan somehow this way with it. Esa kush vesa karkar litchovbo, or a kush or a karkar. These are like sewing things. I think one is this is a spindle, and the karkar is we've mentioned it before. It's like the reed of the weaver that he aligns the loom with it or something like that. So taking one of these things litchovbo, right? So what is he sticking into? Lechobo tutim vechol pri rach, says Rashi. He's using it he's eating berries with it, right? Strawberries and different types of fruit. So he sticks it in there like a shish kebab kind of thing, and uses that to serve himself, right? You know, the lazy person, not lazy person, but the unskilled person using the chopsticks. He doesn't know how to use them. He's eating sushi, so he sticks it in there, right? That kind of thing. But these things, machat shal yad, or a hand needle litobo sakots, to take out a thorn or a splinter. Vishal sakayim, and also you can use, or a machat shal sakayim, right? This is the lashon of sack, of, as Rashi says, it's people who make sackcloth. And are so using their type of needles, luftoch bo sedeles, to unlock a door, right? You got locked out. Yeah. So you got locked out, and so you're right. Rashi says, "Misha aban maftecha," someone who lost his key. So if
the way that the keys were made, the teeth, I don't quite understand how picking a lock was so simple. But
the ones writing this Mishnah knew that there was a use of one of these. Well, this type of needle is shel sakayin. Could be it's a much bigger, thicker needle.
I'm just saying usually because the idea of a key was a length of whatever material followed by either wooden and or metal teeth that would fit a certain, much like you have a key to a house or a car.
I mean, there are people who know how to pick locks with a bobby pin and things like that, right?
That's fair enough.
So I don't know exactly what their locks look like, nor do I know what a needle of the sakayim looks
the
like.
Point is thinking, you know, yeah. The keys have teeth, so to speak, or shape.
Yeah, I. So, but I mean, the ones writing this Mishnah must have known that it was a reality, you know. Anyway, kol akelim mitolin. all kelim can be taken. Aval pishin esparku b'Shabbos, even though it's detached on Shabbos, right? So notice the mission didn't say that according to with these parentheses and as we'll see in Rashi's girsa. So I don't even think Rashi addresses another girsa. So even though it was detached on Shabbos, v'lo mibaya b'chol, and I don't need to tell you. Right? I mean, is that, and the Gemara is kind of presenting, is that the implication? That, like, if it was detached on Shabbos, it's not mukta. And Kav HaChomer, it's not mukta if it was detached on, during the week. Right? Yeah, you might say, well, it was detached in the middle of Shabbos, and maybe there's a reason not to. But if it was detached before Shabbos, then of course. So the Gemara says, no. Adarabba, just the opposite. That's the wrong inference. B'Shabbos, Muchanin, Agabe Avihen. That, if the door was attached to the kli, Erev Shabbos, so as you go into Shabbos, it was considered not muktzah because of its avihen, its father, meaning the carriage or the trunk or whatever it is itself, right? But what you can't say over here, right? Bechol ein muchanin al gabe avihen, meaning it didn't have a status of not muktzah going in. So there's even more reason to say if it was detached on Shabbos, at least at the beginning of Shabbos, the onset of Shabbos, as we say over here, Rashi says, "My afal pi adarabba, my afal pi shayech lemisneha." What afal pi? Like vada nisparku b'Shabbos ikalamishrei. For sure, if it's detached on Shabbos, there's reason to permit it. Mishum dechi kadosh yoma. Because it was from the moment of Kiddush Hayom, right? We learned the concept of Migo Diskatsai, right? That if something was Mukta Bein Hashmasho, so that's status. So it went into Shabbos with a non-Mukta status. So even if it's attached, okay, it'll remain not Mukta, but if it was detached during the week, maybe not. So that really should be the case, and we should learn from that. So Amar Abaye says, "Hachi Kamar." This is how you understand it. Kol hakelim mitalon b'Shabbos v'dal sasani mehen afal pishen esparku. Even though b'chol nitzalim b'Shabbos, even if it was detached during the week, it could be taken on Shabbos. And Rashi elaborates over here, and he says, "Va'afal p lo arbusa din esparku b'Shabbos koi." The afal p part is not that if it was detached on Shabbos, ella arbusa din esparku. O b'chol o b'Shabbos. No, the afal pi chiddush is that even if it's detached, kai v'lum abay kishen mechubarin. You don't need to say when they are attached. When they're attached, right? You have a carriage or a trunk or whatever, and the door is attached. Then for sure, don't say the door of the trunk is muksa, so you can't. No, so that for sure not. And afal pi if it's detached, doesn't matter if it was detached on Shabbos or during the week. That doesn't matter. There's more of a reason to permit it if it was detached on Shabbos, but it doesn't matter. That's not the chiddush of this Mishnah. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though it's detached, it's still considered not muktzeh. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a brisa. Delas shel sheda v'shel teva v'shel migdal notlin avalo machzirin. So the doors of one of these three things, right, of the carriage, of the box, and of the closet, you take, so all of them you could take out, you could detach the door, but you're not allowed to return it. That's how I'll read it now. V'shel lul shel tarnagolim, lo notlin v'lo machzirin. But the lul of but the door of a lul of tarnagolim, of like a hen house, a chicken coop, yeah, that you can't detach, nor can you return it. So we have to explain the difference over here, right? So again, the review of the two halachos. If it's one of these three things we mentioned in our Mishnah, you can detach the door, but you can't return it. And if a hen house, you can't, or a chicken coop, you can't do either. So bishlama shalul shal tarnagolim. That makes sense that you can't do it first. Lul shal tarnagolim kisavar kevan demechabri ba'ara yesh binyan bekarka yesh stira bekarka. That since it's attached to the ground, there is an isser of binyan, of building, when you return it, bikarka, because it's attached to the ground. And yesh stira bikarka, there's also a problem of destroying it. Right? And what we're going to get to is a machlokas that we did mention, a chakira that we mentioned a little bit earlier, about whether there is binyan and stira by kalim or not. right? Right now we're talking about structures that are attached to the ground, right? For sure, when we're talking about a building, a chicken coop, something like that, there's going to be binyan and stira. There's an issur of building such a structure, and there's an issur of taking apart such a structure, and that's very clear. And when it comes to kalim, it's more of a question, do we apply that as well? Now, we know there is a melacha called makah v'patish that we did learn about previously. Kuf Gimel, we learned about this concept of makah v'patish, Kuf Beis, Kuf Gimel. And that certainly applies to kalim, and binyan and stira is a question. So let's try to figure this out. By a chicken coop, although it makes sense that I can't detach it or reattach it, because if I detach it, it's stira. If I reattach it, it's binyan. Now, why would it be by these other objects that it's just inconsistent? Whether you tell me that there is binyan and stira by kalim or not, either way, it's inconsistent. We want it to be, right? We want it to be consistent, exactly. All or nothing. So over here, d'mechaber ba'ara, yesh binyan b'karka, yesh stira b'karka. Ela, shel sheda, shel teva, shel migdal, my kasavar. What does he hold? If he applies it, this applies not just to structures that are attached to the ground, but even to kalim that are detached from the ground. So, v'ein stira b'kalim, ein binyan b'kalim. Right? Which one does he hold? It doesn't make sense. So, we're going to have Abaye and Rava, and they'll take, each one represents a different approach. Abaye, Amar Abaye, li'olam kesavar yesh binyan b'kalim. So really, he holds there is binyan b'kalim. Okay, v'yesh stira b'kalim, and likewise there's going to be stira b'kalim, right? Because the assumption is that binyan and stira go hand in hand, right? The whole stira is almanas livnos. The purpose of stira is to build, and therefore those malachas are going to define each other, and we wouldn't want to split them up. So really, over here in our case, he holds that there is binyan and stira b'kalim, says Abaye. And therefore, we're left with the question. Okay, so by the chicken coop, by the lul, I understand why you can't do it. But why, in the case of the sheda and the teva and the migdal, am I allowed to detach it even if I can't reattach it? Reattaching it, I understand. Reattaching it is binyan. If you hold binyan by kalim, what's the problem? But why can I do the stira taking it down? So by slains, u vishenitlu kamar. It means if it was taken off already. If it was taken off, you can't return it. It doesn't mean that you're allowed to. It means that if it was taken off. Now, it's a hard read. And Rava's going to call him out on that. Amar le Rava. Rava says, Shtei tshuvos bedavar. I have two responses to you. Chada. Denotlin katani. First of all, it says notlin. It says, did we take it? You take it out. It doesn't say that if it was taken out. Va'od. My aval. And if so, what's the aval? Right, taking a look at this halacha again. Right, look at the brisa. Dela shel sheda v'shel teva v'shel migdal notlin avalo machzirin. How could you possibly read that? Even if you say shel migdal shenotlu, okay, it was detached. Lo mach, the word aval is there. It's clearly not the way to read this. So there's two problems with your read. So my aval lo machzirin. Ella Amarava, rather Rava says, Kasavar ain binyan b'kalim, ain stir b'kalim. Right? So he says just, right, so by the lul is attached to the karka, there's a binyan and stira. However, if by kalim, by one of these three things, the teva, the migdal, the sheda, so there's no binyan, there's no stira, okay? So if there's no binyan, there's no stira. So now I understand why you're allowed to detach one of the doors. Why can't I reattach it? What's wrong with that? V'gzeira shema yitaka. There is a gzeira, there's an iser derabanan in place that, so maybe, because maybe he might stick it in very well. Rashi says over here, on just this yitaka, that bichazaka, with strength, bisakin, biyasedos, that there's going to be like a knife and pegs, v'havale gemar malacha, it's going to be considered a gemar malacha, v'chayev mishum makav epatish. Right? So this is a concern about makav epatish, that if you, right? So clearly what we're talking about is the type of attaching and reattaching sounds like it's like a very simple, like I think like you might call Derech Tashmisho. I didn't see anybody use that phrase here, but Derech Tashmisho is where this is its functional use, right? You take it apart, you put it back together. You know, for example, when it comes to like Legos, you know, where Legos are like it's that's its functional purpose to attach and reattach, so that or certain covers on things. So that's what it sounds like we're talking about, and therefore this wouldn't be binyan stira. However, if you fix it in well in a tight manner, that would be a problem of makom patish. So we're not talking about makom patish, right? But we're talking about maybe it'll lead to makom patish. So there's no binyan and there's no stira because it's a completely different. It's a kli, and Rava says he holds that there's no binyan stira by Caitlin. So the binyan stira is out of the question, and you're allowed to take it off because it's not a problem, and you're even allowed to put it on. It's not considered makom patish, but you might do makom patish, and therefore they prohibited returning it because it might lead to fixing it in well.
So fascinating, because there is another thing to put back in a way that's normal, so she could still be removed at a later point. Like a detachable part of the children's carriage or the regular carriage.
Yeah.
So then, but there's an element of going further than the makom patish.
Yeah.
Whereas if you put it on in a way that's intended for, why is that not, that's it, that's the ceiling, that's the cap. Anything beyond that is extraneous, is superfluous. So it's just an interesting makom patish would apply going beyond what you were supposed to do in the first place.
Right. So, It could be
in this particular scenario.
Yeah. So it could be. I hear the question. It could be that like when we're thinking of like, you know, like not well made, you know, 2021 strollers, that there's a fixed setting and you exert any more pressure than necessary, you break the little piece off and you know it's like $100 or more down the drain. But it could be that back then there was much more. You know, much more of a gray area of like, you know, there's fixing it. Okay, detach, reattach, and then there's like a little bit of a fixing. Like we try not to mess around ourselves. You know, like maybe like a person or willing to like nail things in there and widen something. But most people like, you know, I don't want to break my stroller. I don't want to break whatever it is. So we don't go that. But it's not like, you know, going beyond and breaking something necessarily. It's like, no, some people would actually do a makom patish and make it like a more permanent fixture. And and there was a real concern that would take place. And therefore they made a gzera of even returning one of these removable doors would be a problem.
Sorry, because maybe even like, almost like a new queen. Now, you have something detachable. You can have, let's say, two toys. One is detachable doors that open and close, or why not? The others that just don't, that stay closed. That's just the way it's designed. So, like, if you make it that it sticks permanently, stays closed permanently, that would not crush, because you're making like into a new plea, different than what it was before. Because Derech Tashmisho was the real thing. Like, something's got to open and close. It's a real thing. It's not like, okay, it's
maybe.
Just
maybe. Yeah. Could be. Yeah, could be. Okay. No teladim kornos vachulei. Somebody can take one of these items we mentioned, these various tools, and use them for, looks like they're mostly food purposes, if not all food purposes. So, Omer of Yehuda, kornos shel agozin lepatzeya boas agozin. You're allowed to take one of these hammers, like a nut hammer, nutcracker, and break open nuts. Avoshon apachin, lo. But you're not allowed to take like a blacksmith's hammer that he uses at the shop, right? So let's say like the blacksmith comes home on Shabbos and he wants to, you know, use it to crack open nuts. That you can't do. Why not? Kesavar davar shemalachta leiser. So that he holds it's afilu tzarek kufo aser. You have something that is it's malachta leiser. Its primary purpose is for malacha, like the blacksmith, right? So he's making his whatever tools. It's aser, afilu tzarek gufo aser, even to use it for its own purpose and for a mutter purpose, like cracking open nuts, would be aser. And so this Mishnah is talking about these tools which were designated for their purposes. So the hammer we mentioned is designated for nuts. It's a nutcracker hammer. And the spade that's used to cut the devela, the cardom, that's a devela spade, right? It's like one of those the cake, you know, the special cake knives. So it's like that kind of thing. These are the things we're talking about. Rabba says to him, Elamiata, if that's true, that you're telling me that this Mishnah is made of things that it's where there's destiny, there's purpose. Seifa diktani ve'esarachas ve'samalges l'seisel av l'katan. Like the Seifa said that you have a winnowing shovel and a malges, a pitchfork, to put things for the katan. Rachas umalges mi miyachede l'katan. Who has this is my child serving pitchfork. Who has this is my child serving winnowing shovel. No one is miyachin knows, and the Mishnah can't be talking about that. Elo amarabba, rather Rabba explains, korno shanapochin lepatzebo goes in. That even a blacksmith's hammer can be used to break open nuts. Why? Kesavar, because the old dover shemalach to leister, the tzorich gufo mutter. A dover that's malach to leister, even for its mutter to be used for its own purpose, for a mutter purpose. So I have a blacksmith hammer. I can use that to crack open my nuts. And I can move it for that purpose. And Rashi says, "Oh, he said she says in the previous one, tzarich gufo on the previous amud. So tzarich gufo shegufo tzarich od lemalacha acheres shel heter. You want to do it for another malacha that's mutter, meaning not a real malacha, not a malacha Shabbos. Ein metalton on the solo some malacha. You can't do it for that malacha. That's what Rav Yehuda said. And that's not Rabba disagrees over here. V'kol shekinim ein tzarich legufo ela lefanos makomo de ein metalton. He says it also extends for tzarich makomo. You need that space. Well, if you can't even move it for its own purpose, you definitely can't move it out of the way. So that's what Rashi says. So these last two topics. So we said on the previous Amud, the Zichru point that we're taking, we'll take as much as we can, but one that we'll specifically remember is the idea of a guy performing malacha, turning on lights and things like that for himself or for the Jew. And then the two points over here are first of all of the detaching doors from a trunk, from a carriage, something like that, detaching the doors and the muktzah status of it. We said it's actually not muktzah, whether it's attached on Shabbos or during the week. And the third point is that concept of kli shemalach to le'iser, and you have a blacksmith's hammer or the nuts. So over here we have the siddur again for kufkaf beis is kakab, a corn on the cob, and you have a Jew sitting in a dark room eating corn on the cob, and it's very challenging for him. And he would like to eat some nuts too, but he unfortunately can't. And then a guy comes and turns on the light for himself, and he says, "Oh, Baruch Hashem!" He detaches the door from his trunk, takes out the blacksmith hammer, and hammers open the nuts and is able to eat them. Right, so he's sitting in his corner of the cob. He and in the dark, a guy turns on the light for him, which reminds us of the sugya of a guy doing malacha for him. He says, "Ah, Baruch Hashem!" He opens up, he detaches the trunk, the door of the trunk, which reminds us of that discussion, and he takes out a blacksmith's hammer to eat his nuts. And there, we have the three points of the sermon. Yeah.